Good evening. It's good to be with you all. I barely made it. I'm glad to be here. Let's open this evening's meditation on 3 John, verses 1 through 8. Let's focus by praying here at the beginning before we get going. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you. We are in desperate need of your mercy, in desperate need of you revealing yourself to us, Lord. Apart from you, we've got nothing. And so we plead for your grace as we come to your word. Lord, help us to understand. Lord, give me clarity as I preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to hear and be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. In sports, I'll be the first to admit that I'm not the greatest athlete among us. But in sports, you can tell who is who's playing for a certain team by the jersey that they wear. Okay, and a good example of this, I don't watch a lot of sports. I'll give you that, but I do know that I watch World Cup, and I watch a lot of, like, I watch the European Cup. And that was this past summer, or this summer, I suppose. And one of my very favorite players to watch is a fellow named Lionel Messi. He, in the European Cup and in the World Cup, he plays for Argentina. I lived in Argentina for 4 years as a kid. And in my opinion, he's the greatest soccer player to have ever graced the planet Earth. I mean, it's magical watching Messi play. I'm sure many of you would disagree. But it's just, the guy can work miracles on the soccer field. But when it's not time for World Cup or the European Cup or something along those lines, he doesn't wear an Argentine jersey. He actually plays for Madrid. No, Barcelona. Mm. Okay, he plays for Barcelona. And that's in Spain. Now, he's not Spanish, he's Argentine. And, you know, during the World Cup, Argentina's like, go Messi, right? But during, you know, ordinary, normal play, Argentina's not necessarily cheering for Lionel Messi because he's not on their team. He plays for Barcelona. So, it really depends on when you're watching Messi, especially if you're Argentine. It really depends on what time of year that you're watching him as to whether you're cheering for him or not. Is he wearing your jersey or is he wearing a Spaniard's jersey? Certainly when World Cup rolls around or when European Cup rolls around, you're glad that he's wearing the Argentine jersey. Well, whose jersey do you wear? That was a very long way of getting to that point. Whose jersey do you wear? Do you wear the jersey of the Christian church, of God's people? Or do you wear the jersey of the Gentiles, the jersey of the world? Well, I think we all know, all right, we're here, we're gathered as a church. We wear the jersey of God's people. We wear the jersey of Christ. And that's very much linked to the main thrust of 3 John. What jersey do you wear? Whose team are you on? And I'm going to jump right into it, but we'll pick back up with that theme here after we get through a bit of the context in 3 John. Let me just begin by reading the greeting. and then we'll jump into kind of the opening prayer. And the greeting and the opening prayer will form something of the background, and then I'll get to kind of the point, I believe, at least, of 3 John, verses 1 through 8. So 3 John, verse 1. The elder. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. All right, so 3 John, written by the same fellow that wrote 2 John. We spent the last couple weeks in 2 John, and I said that, right, we have no reason to not believe that the elder is the Apostle John. He's presumably the member of a congregation somewhere in the greater Ephesus area, and he's writing these letters to, well, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1 John to be circulated around the churches in the region. 2 John to a particular congregation in the Ephesus region, and 3 John to a particular individual. And this is around 90, the year 90 AD. So John's the last living apostle, and here we are. He refers to himself as the elder. You know, John rarely refers to himself by name, if ever. Maybe never. Maybe he never refers to himself by name. The disciple whom Jesus loved, the elder, yeah, a humble fellow. But he's writing this to the beloved Gaius. Gaius isn't necessarily the pastor of a church, but he's the leader in a church. And presumably, the elder here, John, knows him personally and loves him. The beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, right? He's making a point of it, saying it twice. The Gaius whom I love in truth. The beloved Gaius. So there's a lot of affection going on here. He presumably knows him, and he says he loves him in truth, kind of picking back up on themes that we've found in 2 John as well as in 1 John, right? We are children of God formed by the truth of the gospel. The boundaries of the gospel are what make the family of God. And within that family of God, within those boundaries, we are overflowing. We're brimming over with love. The commandments of God, the commandments of Christ, well up within us because we are a people of the truth, a people who keep God's commands, a people who love one another as Christ has loved us. And as we go on into the opening prayer here, after the greeting, John says this in verse 2. Beloved, beloved, whom I love in truth, beloved. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. I don't want to camp out here too long, but in this opening prayer, John is merely saying that Gaius, well, he's praying that it goes as well for Gaius generally, right? He prays that physically, health-wise, and just generally, circumstantially, things are going well for him as well as they are going for him spiritually, right? I hope that your spiritual life is reflected in every other aspect of your life. Not a bad prayer to pray. So apparently, Gaius is doing pretty well spiritually. We can say that at least. But why? John carries on. For, because I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. Right? Very similar language again to 2 John. The reason John's so confident in Gaius' spiritual well-being, his spiritual welfare, is this. Gaius has a testimony that is, he's pretty popular. Brothers have come back. Well, we'll actually get to this in a moment. Yeah, he's rejoiced greatly because brothers have come to John and testified that John is walking in the truth. So there is something of John's fame, not John's fame, Gaius' fame. He's well known now because folks have visited Gaius. Now they're back visiting John. They tell John about it. And now John seems to have sent others back with a letter to Gaius. And then John says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So John's rejoiced over the good report about Gaius because his greatest joy is his spiritual children are walking in the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Now, is Gaius one of John's like converts? Did John play an instrumental role in Gaius coming to know the Lord Jesus? That's possible, very possible. Although he also refers to, you know, churches at large as his children. So it could just be that he feels some apostolic authority over Gaius. Either way, John is thrilled that Gaius is walking in the truth, and that's really demonstrated in Gaius's support and love for other Christians who have gone out, visited Gaius, and found that Gaius is hospitable. He's hospitable to other Christians that he doesn't even know. All right, so now I want to move forward into verses 5 through 8. Verses 5 through 8 are really the meat of 3 John. So let's just jump right in, and I'll get to kind of summarizing what I think 5 through 8 are in a moment. But let's look at verses 5 and 6 immediately, and that should unfold something of a thesis statement. Verse 5. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. All right, again, John's calling Gaius beloved. All right, that's the fourth reference to his love for this guy. He loves him. He loves him. So Gaius is characterized here as faithful toward the brothers. He's faithful toward the brothers, and those brothers are characterized then as strangers. He doesn't know these guys at all, so they're visiting. I don't know them, but he identifies them as brothers. Furthermore, he's known for his love. So when those brothers go back to John and they give a report to John about the visit that they made to Gaius' church, or the church that Gaius is a part of, the main thing that they have to say about Gaius is he loved us. So they testified to your love, Gaius' love before the church. So Gaius is, again, known for his love, right? They will know you are Christians by your love. Gaius is certainly a Christian. Verse 6, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. All right, you will do well to send them on their journey. It seems as though John sent these guys out for the sake of the name. John sent these guys out as missionaries, and they were received by Gaius, and Gaius was hospitable to them, even though he didn't know them. These guys, for whatever reason, make their way back to John, give report, and Gaius is now famous with the apostle, right? And like, man, that Gaius, he's so loving. And then what appears to be, based on this verse, John then sends those same guys back to Gaius with this letter. Right? They're hanging out with Gaius again, so now no longer strangers. Because the reason I say that is because he says, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. It's as though they're with him again, whereas they had gone back already. You get that? So, these brothers are their missionaries. They're workers for the gospel, for the spread of the gospel, and they're dependent on the church in order to complete their missionary journey. In the ancient world, in the early church, the inns, where there was no room in the inn, we know there were inns in the early world because Jesus was denied space in Bethlehem. But inns were not typically safe places to be. And Christians typically relied upon other Christians, upon congregations, for the spread of the gospel. And so, if I'm a Christian and I'm a missionary, I'm headed toward maybe Spain, like we know the Apostle Paul was headed for Spain. Well, the Apostle Paul would go from city to city, and if there were Christians there already, he would stay with those Christians. At the very least, in this case, these brothers have left John's congregation. They've gone out, not leaving the church, but with the church's support. Now they're here with Gaius, and they're staying with him. And John says, send them on in a manner worthy of God. Now, in a manner worthy of God, that could mean just, as befitting those who serve God. That's a possibility. I lean personally toward in a manner worthy of people, in a manner worthy of the people of God or the body of Christ, right? Inasmuch as you do these things for me, Jesus says, or you do these things for them, you do them for me. I want to think, the church is the body of Christ. We serve and we help the body of Christ. And in so doing, we are serving God. So the thesis, then, I believe, of 3 John is this. Walk in the truth by supporting fellow workers for the truth. Walk in the truth by supporting fellow workers of the truth. John will give, John gives two reasons for why we should do this. Why should we support those who are workers for the truth in a manner worthy of God? The first reason is in they're both in verse 7. So the first part of verse 7 says this, for they have gone out for the sake of the name. What name is that? These brothers have gone out for the sake of the name. I think it's the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave in the Great Commission. So the missionary text in the New Testament is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So these brothers are missionaries. They've gone out for the sake of the name of the triune God. They're spreading the gospel. What is the gospel? Right? God has created the world, but man has rebelled against God, his creator. And as a result, man is under God's right wrath. It is a good thing for God to punish sinners because God is good and he has no part in sin. But God, because of his love toward us, sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Right? He had lived the life we couldn't live, died the death that we deserved, and rose from the dead in order that we might be reconciled to God, if only we repent and believe our sins. As a result of believing that gospel, you and I are not condemned, but we are actually made children of God. We are justified. And there's tremendous joy to be a brother and a sister, a part of the body of Christ. So, these brothers, they have gone out and they've been preaching that gospel. They've been preaching that gospel, and Gaius recognizes these are brothers. They preach the same good news. They're committed to the same gospel and their family as a result. We've talked a couple weeks ago, we talked about theological triage, right? There's that first level, those things that you have to believe in order to be a Christian, right? God is triune. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the gospel. There are a lot of things that fall into that. You have to have those in order to be a Christian. But then there are secondary level things, like you have to be baptized by baptism that is upon belief and that is by immersion. We all affirm that because we're here at a Baptist church, but our friends down the road at a Presbyterian church, Christ Pres, 41st and Lewis, we would affirm that they're genuine believers, that they hold to those first tier levels, right? They believe the gospel, but we disagree on these secondary things. So that's why they're gathered over there and we're gathered over here. And then there's those third level things. You and I might disagree on, like, Revelation, the book of Revelation, and when is Jesus going to return, things like that. You can actually disagree on those and be a member of this local church. And that's okay, because we can't say with 100% certainty as a church that it happens this way, or will happen this way, because it hasn't happened quite yet. And there's some discrepancies about the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and Thessalonians, and things like that. So anyway, Gaius recognizes that these guys are brothers. They believe that same first-level doctrine, and maybe even more. And he has decided that he's going to therefore support them. In fact, he's going to send them in a manner worthy of God. Let's look at verse 7b. So the first reason to send them in a manner worthy of God is because they had gone out for the sake of the name. Second, they accept nothing from the Gentiles. Accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Why do I think that's a second reason? Right? If they had gone out in the name of Rome, then accepting money and resources from Rome would make sense. They would be ambassadors of the state, but they're not. The name is God's name. The name is God's, and the people of God send the workers for God in the manner of God. The people of God send the workers of God in the manner of God. So the church, the local church, sends gospel workers. That's kind of an application for us. We, as a local church, send gospel workers. They don't have to originate from our own local church. We don't have to send only people from our church in order to consider them sent from us, right? We are part of the cooperative program on behalf of the Southern Baptists and Oklahoma Baptists and Tulsa Metro Baptists, right? We give finances. In fact, the brother who came on behalf of the student ministry, name of that fellow was Brandon, right? Brandon is something of a supported worker on our behalf. He's not going overseas, but he is ministering to college students who are deciding who they're going to be for the rest of their lives, as well as, right, as we heard, plenty of internationals who come to TU. He's doing the work, and we support him. We support him in that. And so our support of Brandon and many others, right, even though he's not from our congregation, he's still supported from, you know, by us as a local church. And I think that would fall into this category. The church sends gospel workers, either like John sent gospel workers out, or like Gaius kind of took people who are being sent and kind of helped them along. So let's move on to verse 8. This is now something of a conclusion, and it reiterates the thesis of 3 John, that thesis of walk in the truth by supporting fellow workers for the truth. Verse 8 reads like this: Therefore, we ought to support people like these, so that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I went to seminary, a seminary by a fellow, overseen by a fellow named John Piper. And Piper is famous for saying in one of his books, you are either a goer or a sender if you are a faithful Christian. Those are the only two categories. You're either a faithful goer or a faithful sender. The only other kind of Christian that doesn't fit into those two categories is disobedient. So you're either faithfully going, faithfully sending, or disobeying. If we're not going, we're supporting those who do. And the question is why? Well, I mean, John says as much. We ought to send people like these. We ought to send faithful brothers so that we may be fellow workers. It's as if, so I have a one-story house, a lot of it's carpet, and I have a vacuum cleaner. My vacuum cleaner is not cordless. It's got a cord, and I can plug it in one room, and I could probably vacuum half of the house, but I will have to unplug it and plug it in elsewhere in order to get the rest of the house vacuumed. But if I wanted to plug that vacuum in and keep going without having to, you know, stop the vacuum and then unplug it and plug it in somewhere else, then I would need an extension cord. And I could do that. I could do that. And I could do it all in one fell swoop, right? In gospel missions, there's you know, the initial power plug of the sending church, right? So maybe John's church in 3 John is sending these brothers, and they're that initial, you know, outlet. And then the Gaius's church is something of an extension cord, right? So they're able to extend that ministry. And as their Gaius's church is an extension of that original ministry on behalf of John's church, they are not only just supporting the work of those brothers, but they are part of that ministry. If you recall in 2 John, we talked about walk in the truth in love by not supporting false teachers, because if you support false teachers in their work, well, then you're actually, you're partnering with them in their evil, right? You are a co-worker in wickedness. The opposite is the case in 3 John. If genuine brothers come along who are not false teachers but actually missionaries, then those are the guys you want to bring in and extend their ministries. And in so doing, you're actually partnering with them. And it's not just they're doing the work, but you're joining in that stream and you're doing the work with them. It's your work. It's John's work. It's Gaius' work. It's the brother's work. It's one work. Does that make sense? So they can't do, missionaries can't do the job without the senders. We as a church here at Trinity Baptist Church, there are missionaries who cannot do the work unless we send them along. And that's missionaries, that's campus ministers, that's church planting, that's evangelists, men who are going out for the name, women who are going out for the sake of the name. We do well to send them on in the manner worthy of God. Praise God, I think we do that as a church. And this 3 John is merely a commendation. Well done, Trinity. I think we're like a Gaius. We've seen Brandon come and do his thing. He gave us a report of the good work that's being done at TU and also TCC in the area. And not only that, there's the cooperative program and so on, right? We want to keep on doing these things. And as we have opportunity, do them more. The Great Commission Club and so on, right? So may the Lord hold us fast in walking in the truth of the gospel by supporting fellow workers for the truth. And that's all I have for us. I think that's all 3 John has for us, at least up through verse 8. And next week we'll jump back into verses 9 through the end, through 15. But with that, let me close in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you, we praise you. You have not left us alone in our sin. And God, we ask that you would not allow us to grow complacent in that good news, but Lord, that we would eagerly share, that we would be eager to either send those who share the good news, or that we would go ourselves. Father, give us joy, just like the Apostle John had. Give us joy in sending along brothers and sisters for the sake of the name, and help us to do so for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.